Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 student-athletes at Penn State across 31 sports. I'm Jim Galante. With us today, Executive Director over at HVU, that's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how we doing?
I'm good. I'm warm. I'm excited. By the time this show airs, you know, we had just gone through one of the biggest winter weekends that we've ever had here at Penn State. And so it's pretty neat. I didn't expect to see all the tailgating like it was. Like, it was pretty cool. My wife was a little thrown off too. It's like, it's pretty cool. Like, Penn State fans, you can never underestimate them and their ability to really show out for tailgates.
Give us an excuse. Give us a reason to tailgate, Mike,
No doubt.
We will take it.
No doubt.
In fact, oftentimes that's the priority, okay? That's so.
Well, yeah, I know. And I haven't been over to your shindig. I know it gets rowdy over there, but I promise I'm going to make it over there next season.
We'll have you next season. Can't wait for it. Already, well, you saw the schedule was just released.
Yeah.
Whiteout game has got to be USC. It's just got to be, Mike. I don't know what influence you have over there, but whatever it is, push it for USC whiteout, okay?
See, Jim, you're jumping ahead already. Like, you're going – we haven't even hit the spring game, and you're going all the way to the middle of the season already.
If there's anything that's as important as tailgating, Mike, it's the whiteout game selection. So the combination of tailgating and a whiteout game, that's it, Mike. That is it. It should be declared a national holiday. That day
you're
is
right.
So important.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
With, you know, the whiteout at night, it's an all-day celebration tailgating topped off with a football game. Best day of the year. Already looking forward to it. But you mentioned, Mike, it big sports weekend all around at Penn State. A lot of stuff's going on. Recruiting is going on now. It's time to start thinking about 2027 class. It's what you're doing at HVU. A lot of exciting stuff going on there also.
Yeah, it's the second week of the Coach Campbell, the CMC era of junior days, which is pretty neat. I talked about it a little bit with you last week and a couple other people, and I went on social media and also kind of just gave the audience a little bit of what I'm hearing and the relationships that I have here at the building and how things are transitioning to, recruiting. And not just the 27 class, Jim, really, it's like 28. We had some 29s here as well. And we had some surprise visitors here. But again, this staff is recruiting, specific. And with these days, instead of it being like you're herding a bunch of, cows, like it's select, give or take 20 kids were here today. And it's really good. It's really good vibe. And it's really cool. A lot of good stuff coming out of the last building from a recruiting standpoint from the past 2 weeks. But yeah. And you mentioned recruiting, and what we're doing here at HVU is, we're going to be launching a platform which focuses on recruiting. Really excited about it. It's been in the works for a long time now. And we're about here at the finish line, and we're about to do some really exciting things. And I'll be teasing it a little bit throughout the next couple of weeks until we launch. And we have a pretty cool idea for when our launch date is going to be, which is really exciting. But I'll let that kind of marinate with everybody and get your heads spinning. But it's going to be really cool. And what I want to do too, prior to this launch, is really just educate the fans on this platform that is going to be basically an in-house platform for recruiting. And it's just not going to be like a recruiting service that, a lot of people end up going to. It's going to be a lot more to that. And I'm excited for everybody to see, because it's going to be the first of its kind in the country. And I think it's going to be a really neat tool for us to interact and guys become actual scouts out there and help us recruit in a sense. And so I won't get all into it, but that is a little bit of a tease to what is coming when it comes to HVU and the platform. And I'm excited to do it. And if you haven't followed me, follow me on Twitter. It's, I believe my handle is MVillaGR, MVILLAGR88. Follow me, and I'll give some teases through my social account until we launch.
And I'll try to put out exactly what that Twitter is on our Twitter account, also our social yeah. media. Get it out there. We're excited.
By the way, I would like to put it out there that I had a Twitter back in the day when Twitter had just started. I think I was a young coach in 2011, and I started my Twitter account. And the, just as of last year or the year before, I got hacked by some like fantasy card thing, and I couldn't get in. And it was funny. I was listening to Chris Childers talk on Full Ride, and I guess he got hacked too. And he was complaining and moaning about all the things that I had went through, because it's all bots. If you get your Twitter hacked, there is no real human customer support.
Right.
So I never got my freaking Twitter back. So like with some of the stuff that I'm doing, like I would love to have more of a reach, but all my almost 30K followers kaput out the window, had to start a new one. And now I have a new one. But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Elon at that time.
Well, we'll have to keep promoting that. But, you know, and as I've told you a thousand times, I come from a computer background, computer science degree and all that. I still, the same way, all this crap that comes through, literally every day, Mike, I go to my email and delete like 40 emails that are like, that tell me, you know, like I owe money here or it's there or my, you know, specific credit card payment needs to be made for a credit card I don't even have, you know, that type of thing. It yeah. drives me crazy. And what, oh, the other one, we had an issue with our website, which affected our podcast a couple weeks ago. Anyone listening, my apologies. I had multiple people. Jim, did you end the show? Are you sick? What's going on? No, it's these stinking people doing their crap. The website, it's like we had to put up a guard against. It was getting hit, like you said, the bots from Russia. So
from Russia, yeah. I tell you what, man. And I just got hacked for like a couple grand over the holidays, literally right over the holidays from somebody got my information. And I kept getting these charges from Bentonville, Arkansas, at Walmart. And, you know, talking to the customer services through banks, it's like they tell you the same thing over. And so I had to basically report, do an individual report on each transaction that were like 40, 50 bucks, maybe like 80 bucks. And that actually totaled up to like $3,000. So imagine that phone call. Like me and my wife just took turns. Basically. All right, your turn. You take it. It was what? It's a mess. I hate those people that are behind all those scams. Like they have to be the worst people in the world.
Oh, absolute scum. And now we are way down this rabbit hole, Mike. Okay. So yep. I got to share. One time I had multiple credit cards hacked. Okay. And it was, I was traveling to Florida for business. And you know, when you're returning the rental car, you do it near, you got to gas it up. Stop uh-huh. at a gas station near the airport. It's one of those mom and pop shops, no name. I should have known better, but you know, you need to fill it up.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't seem to like my card. Try another card. It's one of those that it stole the information. It was in that machine.
Yeah.
But my absolute favorite part of this is what they got away with was an $8.50 purchase from Popeyes.
That's insane. It's insane. Insane. I got stories because I am a sucker for these because I get nervous, you know, like I'm late on a bill or something. And then, my kid maybe spent like something on a video game and I'm about to get pissed. And then to come find out. I clicked the link, and I'm next thing you know, I got money on my dang bank account.
Well, what I found at least is helpful is I put, you know, the from whoever it is and put the arrow on it to show the actual full listing. So yeah, when it says it's, you know, American Express, but then it's like from user at xy7832.cu or some, you know, some ridiculous name, it's like, I'm pretty sure this one's not real, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, as we've gone far afield, let's try to bring it back. You're talking sure about some of the things that are going to be coming out of HVU. An emphasis on recruiting, which is fantastic. Getting, I believe it'll be more access to the players and going on. And you know what to me is the most exciting part of all of this? Let me tell you. We at Keystone Sports are going to be involved with you.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, it's really cool just how sports is evolving. I have a pretty large internship program that's really kind of helped us get this thing off the ground. And honestly, if it wasn't for them and this talented group, like, we wouldn't, you know, be almost at the finish line. But I shared an article with them from, Front Office Sports, and they kind of just dove into how sports is evolving in college sports specifically when it comes to like media and collectives. And honestly, like, I kind of saw it last year, like, kind of coming in this thing, trying to, you know, get my feel for what a collective is. I never got that feel because it changed every month. And then now we're at a point where it's like they are, and this is across the country, I think, is like people are starting to move to the collectives to become like the media agencies, right? And so we're doing something similar, you know. So a lot of places, like even Florida, it was one of my former interns is heading it over there. They have their own like specific studio, which is pretty cool. And, you know, we have a couple things in the works with some of the properties that are getting built here, that there may be like a floor and area that's like kind of a podcast studio area that that we'll be able to kind of take the recruits, take some of our players, coaches and staff, and kind of do all of those things outside of an actual studio, which is just really neat. I love it because it's not really like everybody's going to think like it's competing with 247 on 3, and it's not, because like, dude, Jim, like, you know, those people, they're unbelievable at their job. Like they're in. And it's funny, I was like joking with Derek, the GM, the other day. I was like, these guys know more than like us or him in there. You know what I mean?
they do. I'll tell you what, I'm going to cut you off, Mike, because we're at a hard break here, but we'll pick it up right from there when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at HVU. Mike, we're talking about everything today already. And first, we got to talk about credit card scams, all of bots and all of that, but also some of the new things. Yes.
Yep.
All the new things that's going to happen with HVU. And we kind of wrapped up, you know, quarter number one. I cut you off. It's interesting because you mentioned, you know, On3 and Rivals and those folks who do a phenomenal job and have so much great information. But I think what gets lost in some of these things is people automatically think, oh, you know, this is competing with that, when it's really not. There are different types of media, different types of access, and those kind of things. So I think what you're talking about is a much different, it's still talking about looking at Penn State football, but from just a little bit different angle.
Yeah, it's about more of the evaluations too. It's not chasing, you know, breaking news and stuff like that. Like smaller places, like smaller like entities, like these initiatives, they'll never be able to keep up with those guys. That's not what it's all about. It's more about the interaction with all the different Dems of the community, the Penn State fans in the community, like the guys that want to be able to talk a little bit football, talk some evaluation, do some Q&As with me, talk about what we see and what I'm hearing from inside, why we're like a particular player. I think that's really cool, especially with this staff, just because they don't get out there when it comes to social media and those things. So they're just going to recruit to what they see, right? When they're going to trust their evaluations, and they're not going to go off of, you know, a 247 or an on three stars or rankings, which is fine. Like that's all good. But trusting your own evaluations in your own front office is more important now than ever. And it's pretty cool having Coach Campbell come in already having that philosophy for years and how he's coached and recruited, but now coming into this new age of college football where rosters are being constructed a little bit differently, right? And it's all about ROI and return and dollars and all that stuff. It's like, well, you really got to look at the transfer portal, right? Things are transactional, right? There is still going to be some development within the high school ranks, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be, hey, ROI on these players, you know, where they stand, because you're going to, if you're recruiting a five-star kid, you're going to have to pay them money. But say it's a big old lineman coming in here, like Max Hiller, all right, he comes in here, he still might not play that first, you know, he's a freak and he's special, but like more than likely, he's not going to play, you know, his first year, maybe two. Well, you're sitting on dead money right now, where versus that money could maybe potentially go to a transfer from, say, you know, Elon, that has 3 years under his belt. He's developed. He's a grown man. He's 23 years old. And you probably don't have to – you probably can pay less for that guy. But, right, you know, it's just a juggle with that. So back to, like, my main point, it's all about these evaluations. I think it's really neat to understand why these coaches and why we're taking certain particular players. Because the staff just it's they've broadened the net. Obviously, seeing Coach in Hawaii this past week can attest to that. But yeah, all in all, the platform is just an all encompassing interaction with the fans, from, you know, the message boards, the 247 stuff. But there's also going to be a whole nother layer to it that it's kind of fun for our fans and everybody. There's gonna be like sweepstakes and just all kinds of just like really cool tools, and it's backed by a really good team that we partnered up with a couple months ago, and they've been kind of driving the ship and to where we're about to end. But a lot of things honestly have to take place for this to happen. Jim, I've talked to you about this on the side a little bit. Like I think the idea is great, right? But the Pat and AD has to sign off on it, right? Vinny, yeah. and everybody underneath Pat have to sign off on it. Then, you know, if it's another media, if we're doing media, that's an additional media entity within the ecosystem with Roar Plus, with, you know, any of the ICA media. Like, so you don't want to cannibalize yourself. So you want to be strategic. And that's what we've done. So the media stuff that we're doing is going to be tailored to recruiting all sports, right? And also highlighting some of the sports that maybe we don't have a ton of attention on, but we can bring a little bit more attention and light to some of those players that are some of the smaller Olympic sports in our at our university. So there's a lot of opportunity with this this platform that we're going to be launching. I couldn't be more excited about it finally coming out, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well, it is really exciting, and I think whenever there's an emphasis on recruiting, you specifically having access that you do. Also, you know, Mike, with this, I'm excited because you and I have talked about doing more things about recruiting, and your background, I'm not sure the folks know, your background in the recruiting world. You've been part of it, so you understand it. So literally, you know, I'm not going to go through some of the names, but it was fun. You and I would have conversations both on the air, off the air, and you'd say, Jim, you got to see this kid. He's a dude, you know, and it's a player I hadn't even heard of yet. Well, once the season started, you start hearing about the player, and you're the guy who I talked to first about it. And what's exciting for me personally is you and I, we've already talked about this. During this off season, we're going to be talking recruiting and get not just, you know, here's what's exciting for everybody, but your evaluation of these players, which I have come to value already.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. And I guess that's part of it too, is like with my experience and just being in the recruiting world, you know, for the last like 10 years and at a bunch of different spots, I've had a bunch of neat different experiences that I'll be able to kind of share, you know, me being here from 15 to 17, which now looking back at it, it's just, that was such a talented roster and time. It's such a cool time to be part of recruiting here at Penn State that like, I'll be able to like player comp a lot of these guys, what I think they can turn into, but yeah, it's just another perspective, right? You know, I just have a different background than some, and you know, I'm not the only, you know, former recruiting guy out here probably talking on pods and stuff, but you know, I just might have a different perspective on things and a lot of things I do. And that's why I really believe in this, this platform that we're going to roll out, just because I just think with the time that we're going through in college football, the time that we're going through with this type of philosophy that Coach Campbell and his staff have, I think it's just a really good recipe for success. So I'm excited, and you know, it might stink. I might be a bum at it, but I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have fun with it.
Do you know what, Mike? That's the key. If you have fun with it, I think the listeners will also. That's been my experience, what I've learned over the years of doing this. But you mentioned, it's always fascinating to me. You mentioned that time when you were here, you know, the 15, 16, 17, those years. And when Penn State got its only Big Ten championship under James Franklin, that was pretty quickly after coming out of the sanctions and everything that was going on. That was not exactly a team that was just littered with five stars all over the place. Yeah. It was a lot of guys who were probably considered a little bit under the radar. And as fans, you don't necessarily remember that, but those were a lot of special players. They were just, I say just, that's not fair, but they were three-star players, not the four and five-star players.
Yeah, I thought that's, it was like, it was really neat. I was talking to Christian Hackenberg about this last week, just because he was, my first year was his last year. And so we were just kind of reflecting on that time and those type of players. It was a kind of, it was a mixture of Joe Ball guys, which Billy OB guys were basically, yep, Joe Ball guys. And then Franklin's guys when he first got here, right, bringing in the Trace McSorley's that was previously committed to Vanderbilt, and, you know, bringing in, you know, Saquon Barkley, who I don't know if people forget, but Saquon was committed to Rutgers at one point. Yes. And, like, he wasn't, like, a highly, highly touted guy. Like, there was a lot of hits in that class. Put it, yes, like that, too. Like, abnormally, like you normally don't hit on those guys that are, that have high ceilings, but we're just on the fence where a lot of schools maybe didn't go all in on, right? Those guys we hit on, and you look back at it, and it was an unbelievable, like, across the board about all positions. There's guys playing the league still to this day, from those teams. So yeah, it's cool just talking about those times and how we are where we're at now. It's really neat.
Well, it's true. And you mentioned, you know, like Trace McSorley, who many schools only gave him an opportunity to be a defensive back.
Right. Right.
And Penn State would, you know, said, hey, you could play quarterback here. And Saquon, if I remember correctly, in the national rankings, not at his position, but just overall, you know, he was like ranked like number 105 players. Like, yeah, there were 104 other players coming out of high school considered better than Saquon. By the time he was done, he was probably the best player in college football.
Yeah, no question. And he left there a year early, so he was still young. Pretty cool. Yeah.
And it goes into, you know, we're still having this discussion, and I still have listeners saying, oh, you're bringing in a bunch of three-star guys, and not understanding that players, they now have the longer resume. It's not just what they did in high school. You're now evaluating them after they played a lot of games in college.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different way to look at evaluations. And look, like, college football is super popular right now. Why? Because the product is good. There's parity, right? And there's just it's a mess, right? And so people like a fun mess to poke at every time. Hey, there's a million things wrong with college football behind the scenes that you can talk about. So, like, there's so much to talk about. And it was funny. Like, I always bring up the full ride, but they were talking about that too. It's like when you got into this business, Jim, and what you were covering, you probably never expected to be covering and talking about the things that we're talking about today, right? This may be a slow time in previous years. You know what I mean? We could talk about a million things.
It's chaos. I think some order will come of it, though. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back right after the break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. I'm Jim. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, serving over 800 student-athletes with 31 sports across Penn State. And, you know, Mike, we've been talking about some of the crazy stuff going on. You mentioned, you know, the popularity of the sport, and we'll be talking about this more in the next several weeks, I'm sure, during the off season. The chaos is going on, but I do think out of this chaos will come some order. And again, I don't want to get deep into it, but there's been some of these contract issues. I think we'll come out the other side of it, but I really want to switch gears and talk about some actual football players, Mike. And here's what I want to hit you up on. The whole conversation with Penn State football is the transfer portal. So many players coming from Iowa State and a handful of other players too. All the players that have left Penn State, we hear about all of that, that this is Ames, Iowa East, okay? This is just going to be Iowa State team just transported to State College. But that's not really the case. There are still a lot of really good players that have been retained at Penn State, right?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing with the staff when they first came in. You know, Coach Campbell met with all the players, was briefed on all of the players and who probably we should try to retain and who we should probably just say, hey, time to probably move on. And that conversation probably was had with Terry, and they probably took a lot of time into that, which led to his individual meetings, and then which led to the players that did leave and versus the players that we did retain. So a lot of the guys that we retained, it's awesome. But when you look at the roster, it's like still kind of a new roster. It's going to be a new culture. I think when you do these things, when you have a coaching change, there's time for that culture of the new coach to get settled in, right? But I think this is really different. I think the Coach Campbell culture is really going to be activated and really be full force sooner than later, because half this roster is new, right? And not only are they new, but they're coming from, a lot of them, Iowa State, and already understand that culture, right? So I think, you know, if you look at the offensive line room, half that room, if not more, is Iowa State or new guys. So the guys that are returning, it's going to be easier for them to conform and get it from a culture standpoint when there's certain things happening. Those guys in that room that were with Coach Campbell and the staff, and say, you know, I'm talking to the line, so Coach Clinton, how he does things, those guys are going to be able to be like, bro, this is how he does it, all right? This is how he's going to expect this or that. So that helps tremendously for the guys that are returning.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's going to be helpful. And, you know, let's talk about some of these players, these returning players, and let's start on the offensive side of the ball. And one of the elements is, especially on offense, the specialty, the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, there's also a lot, along with the offensive line, there's a lot of Iowa State flavor to it. But let's go through the positions. I'm going to start at a position where there aren't any returning Penn State players, which is at quarterback. But I'm bringing that up, Mike, just to try to get a feel for how this works, is that conversations were not necessarily coach doesn't want the player doesn't want to be back. It's just circumstances. And I think that there was a strong indication, you know, Rocco Beck would be following Matt Campbell and his offensive coordinator and his quarterback coach and all that, where it's not necessarily a case that Ethan Grunkmeyer didn't want to be here, but the path to starting at quarterback would have been rougher if he stuck around at Penn State than going elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. I was talking to somebody about even Grunkmeyer, right? Like I loved Grunkmeyer. I loved his ceiling and everything. I would love to see Grunkmeyer come in, compete with Rocco, with the, you know, the anticipation and expectation would be Rocco would come out on top. But either way, Rocco coming back to he's going to be, I believe, the most starts in college football, right?
Next year. I think I saw he had he has 39 starts under his belt.
Jim, that is unbelievable to have that experience with your quarterback. You know what I mean? So like, I think that was, we talked about on the show that, you know, I haven't talked specifically with anybody about it within the football program, but like that had to be a really hard decision when it came to Grunkmeyer, because Grunkmeyer probably wanted to stay, but his time, you know, he got that taste of starting. He developed each game and got better. It's a transactional business decision, right? But the fact that we do have Rocco, though, like, we couldn't be in a better position. I've heard so many good things about Rocco from a character standpoint that really drives the culture and probably is why he is known as a great football player leader. Obviously, Rocco is going to be, you know, the face of the program to a certain extent. People are going to be able to get to know him and see him. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the community to get to know this guy just from all the things that I'm hearing from guys that have personal relationships with Rocco.
Well, and at that position, at quarterback, you are the de facto leader of the team. So to have a guy like that, and I always feel obligated to mention, it's not just Rocco. It's also Mansky, the backup quarterback, who was highly thought of. He redshirted as a freshman at Iowa State, so he's coming over also. with 4 years of eligibility remaining. So that's a pretty strong quarterback room. But I said, we're going to talk about the Penn State guys back. I did want to get that position out of the way. Let's go around the offense. Let's go to a running back. I'm kind of excited that both Quentin Martin and Cam Wallace are back for this Penn State team. A couple of guys from Iowa State are coming in, very good players. But, Mike, that pinstripe bowl performance by Quentin Martin, I think it wasn't just me who got really excited about his performance.
Yeah, Quentin is – I've been saying it from last fall. No, really it was last spring. I thought he really kind of separated himself as, like, the next after Nick and Katron were going to graduate. I saw him as, like, he just did things like – He flashed that he's going to be an all-around back. And obviously in that bowl game, everybody kind of got a taste of what to look forward to with him. I think he's the total package. There's still some things. He's still developing. He's still a young guy. But he has vision. He has that burst, right? And he has that home run ability. To me, always what really takes a really good and great running back to an elite running back is when they're able to outrun angles, which what I mean by that is, like, when they get to that second level, right, and they're in the open field and maybe it's down to like a safety or some defender trailing, and that safety and that defender that's in pursuit has an angle and should make it. But when that running back is able to outrun them, or they just have something in their toolbox that they're able to get juke them, a spin move, whatever it is, set it up so they can hit the home run, is huge. Now he has that. And I don't say that lightly, because I honestly thought that was the difference between Saquon from his, was it sophomore year or sophomore year to his junior year. He took that next step where when he got into the open field, there was no catching him. I don't think he had it. And I think he's on the record for saying that. That was like one of the biggest things that he wanted to do, was take it to the next level, that speed, that burst, that ability to hit the home run. That's what really makes special running backs. And I think Hugh has, he flashes some of those things. So hopefully he kills this winter workout season and has a good spring, and then just build some good momentum going into the summer, and then being our RB1 this year. But we'll see. But I'm excited to see his development. This is going to be a really big year for Q.
Well, and you know, and we've seen over the last couple of years that you could have more than one number one running back. You could have 1A, 1B, and it's Carson Hansen, who he ran for over 900 yards last year. He averaged 5 yards a carry the last 2 years. So obviously he's going to get play also. I did like, though, Mike, because if you didn't, I was going to bring up Saquon Barkley's name. When you talk about a guy who beats that guy who has the angle on him, I think Saquon Barkley's the definition of that.
And yeah, he is. Yeah, even now.
Right, like, into the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, that's what makes him special in the NFL. Like, you're not catching that guy. He's so smooth with it, too. He almost looks like, I don't know. He's just got this funny, like, kind of looking running gait. I don't know, but heck, it's amazing. Like, how he really, if you guys remember his sophomore year, like, he wasn't having those huge breakout runs until really that junior year. It was like automatic.
His lower body, those thighs and calves, and you know, it probably makes his gait a little bit different just because he's such a freak.
Yeah,
but I'll say,
Jim, let me tell you one of my favorite Saquon stories, and it was my last time with Saquon. It was that Fiesta Bowl game, and we're warming up, and I'll never forget looking at them guys on the, you know, while people were warming up. I'm like, man, they're huge, like they were big, and then I'm walking around and somehow I'm just like kind of stationed by Saquon. And then me and Saquon just start chopping it up a little bit. And then he's like doing these stretches with his calves. And he's like, I got to let these boys see my calves. Like, you know, Saquon way, like, you know, just feeling himself and just like
getting himself hyped up. It was pretty cool. And then you obviously crushed it.
I'm glad you mentioned that specific game, because there is a play there that, to me, in my head, that's the one I picture when you say there was a, I guess a safety it was, had the angle on Saquon, and you watch it on TV, had the angle, didn't matter. All right, that's the final word on the quarter number three. Another segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley. It's quarter number four of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, we're trying to get through these Penn State returning players. I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but we'll attack them as we go. I think it's interesting. You brought it up earlier, the offensive line, and it's, you know, Cooper Cousins, Anthony Donka, who I think, you know, we will pencil in as starters, probably the right side. There's some of the youngsters you and I have talked about, like Alcini, Sexton. And I'm going to throw out one more name there because it's under the radar. I think it's some pretty nice insurance that Dominic Rulli is coming back also, Mike.
Yeah, I love Dominic. I was actually working through something with him and his father this past week. Just some like collective stuff, and he's such a good dude to be around. I don't know how he's not a fan favorite going in this year, because he's just kind of that. He was kind of like the runt of the pack, right? Coming into Penn State as a walk on, and just, you know, fought his butt off day in, day out at a position that there's so much heavy lifting as far as like just your output every single day from a knowledge standpoint, from a technician standpoint, from, you know, like that position is just really different in my opinion. There's just a ton that goes into it. And so for him to be at the point where he is now on scholarship, making some money, and to be honest, he's very smart about it too. And he's really calculated, and he's just a good dude, right? I'm really happy to see him, and he's going to be part. I could see him fitting in really well into in that room and that culture with everybody else, because he's kind of like a magnet in a way. Like, everybody loves Dom, right? That's what I tell my Dom, my son, my 11-year-old. Be like the two Dominics on the football team. If you ever want to look up to somebody, look up to those two guys.
Well, ironically, the couple Dominics that you mentioned from the team, I got to meet not just them, but also their parents. And if you met the parents of both of them, you know, just wonderful people, obviously so proud of their son. And, you know, that's the element I think it's fascinating that fans often don't get to see that. But those who do, you know, the families. Dominic Rulli's parents, they come in for every game and stay over, were fantastic. I wasn't sure if he was going to come back. I think it's great that he did. We mentioned Cooper Cousins and Anthony Donka. You know, they could be the anchor to the right side, Mike. And so it feels like you can get still a pretty good Penn State flavor on this offensive line, with some added talent coming in for it also.
Yeah. That room is always fascinating to me. I'm a former tight end, but I was an offensive lineman, build and athleticism. So I always looked at myself as an offensive lineman in a way, and those were always like my boys. So I think that room is going to be really cool to watch, especially, you know, out the gate when we start winter workouts and see how that room comes together. But, I think, you know, collectively, I think not just that position, but all around, I thought, you know, Derek Hoosier and the staff has done a phenomenal job getting this roster to where it's at, from a depth standpoint, too, because, you know, a lot of people, they want to see like all of the cute bells and whistles, stars, rankings out of the portal. But what we did was calculated. What they did was exactly what we needed to do. They wanted some length and some big dudes inside on the defensive side on the line. They got them, right? They wanted some depth on the offensive line. They got it. You know, we lost all our quarterbacks in that room. But you look at it now, top to bottom, we have some depth there. Just all around, just really a good job on this roster. But I say that because I'm a little bit closer and know a little bit more than what's been privy to the public. But once that stuff comes out, I think people are going to realize, man, we got a deep team.
And I think another position to look at where there's good depth, you and I both, we love tight ends, okay? Well, let's face it. We've talked about it quite a bit. And people will look at the talent that left here. Yes, there was some really good talent, but you know, I think folks are going to like Benjamin Brommer, 6'7", 255 pounds. That's a pretty nice tight end target. And there's also Gabe Burke coming in, who had caught over 50 passes over the last two seasons, but coming back, a favorite of both you and I, Andrew Rappelier is going to be back playing tight end for Penn State. That makes that a pretty nice tight end room.
Yeah, that room's deep again. One of my favorite rooms last year with all that talent and those guys in there. This year, I'm looking forward to getting to meet Brian or Ben and those other tight ends. But like when you look at them, like when you look at Ben and the freshman that we brought in and Rap. Like Rap does not look nearly as big as them. You know, like I said it last week, like they're big dudes across the board, these Iowa State guys. Like they're big dudes. Like to me, like they're big ten, what we grew up on type of guys. And the Big Ben, he's like that. But they're all a little bit different athletically, I think. So which is good. So between Rap, Ben, and the freshman that also transferred from Iowa State, I think is really good, really good, especially with how Coach Campbell likes the offense to run, you know, more, you know, pro style, use a lot of tight ends. So it should be good.
Okay, let's look at wide receiver a little bit. And there's some exciting players. I want to see this Chase Soule play. Again, another big guy, 6'3", 210, and a couple other folks. We are used to that changeover at wide receiver every year, new group coming in. But there were a couple players, Penn State players, who are returning that I think are worth mentioning. You know, Kobe Howard started to make a name for himself. And, you know, I'm still intrigued by Peter Gonzalez, another pretty big guy. And I know he came off injuries out of high school. I know I think you kind of liked him also coming in.
Yeah, I liked him just because I already had a personal relationship with him because, you know, we were kind of down to like one of his final schools. I never thought we were going to get him because I always thought after getting to know him and his family, like, oh, this guy's going to be a Penn State guy. Like, this is going to be the type of guy Coach Franklin is going to absolutely want to make sure that he stays in state. But what we had when I was at the time at Virginia Tech going for us was he hadn't posted a really fast time, I guess. So he had camped at Penn State he had camped somewhere late and posted like a really good time. And I think that's what ended up triggering him to offer. So once Penn State offered, I knew we were in trouble. But my interactions with him from the start, like phenomenal family, phenomenal kid. I just saw him yesterday. I just dapped him up because, you know, these guys are all getting back. I think this is what the second week of school. I know he's going to be excited. This is kind of like Q to me. This is going to be a big year for him, right?
Yep.
You want to see them do well. You want to see them find their role on this team, just not for this year, but for the future, right? I think that's what a lot of guys hit, especially with the time of college football nowadays. Like, if you enter year two, year three, and you're not in a position on that roster that you feel like you're contributing enough and you're bringing enough value to that room and that team, that roster, then that's where the portal comes in, right?
Yeah.
I think that's fair, right? Instead of like a kid coming in, I won't name names, but like a kid that's highly touted, this is all across the country. He gets paid a little bit of money. Probably the higher you are rankings, the more you can demand. So they're getting more money and they come in, they're not playing because you're with grown men. It's going to take some time to adapt and develop. So you get frustrated after the first year and you leave without even giving yourself a chance. You know, after one year, that like you still to really fully develop, you got to go through like 2.5 seasons. That's why I think it's fair, you know, around your third year or second, you know, year ish, you know, you can start looking, you can probably see where you're projected to be on the roster.
Well, that's the thing. You could be 3 years in, have a redshirt year, your first 2 years of eligibility. At that point, you still have a couple years of eligibility left, but you now get to play him as a grown man, you know, after 3 years in the system. Let's hit defense real quickly. I know player that they lost at defensive end, but there's a couple talented guys like Yvonne Camaju, Max Granville. They're coming back. They're returning Penn State players, Mike.
Yeah. Max, I love. He seemed a little undersized to me for a defensive end when I first got here. And I'm just kind of just relearning the roster last winter. But then, you know, he was still young. You can see he's still developing. And now he looks really good prior to that. He started looking really good and coming in his own prior to that unfortunate injury that he had. But that kid's got a great attitude. He's a great character kid. And, you know, just like Coach Campbell preaches, he wants guys that love football. He fits that mold. Kid just loves football. And I don't think people really understand what kind of like how tough an injury like that can be on a person's mental, you know, like going through, you're removed from the team. Basically, you're doing a ton of rehab. You know, and especially for a guy that like was pretty promising, he was probably going to play a big role this year. But for him to keep the attitude that he's kept, is pretty neat. Like he's always smiling. He's a good dude. I'm rooting for him.
And the last one you mentioned, the Camaju is also.
Oh yeah, yeah, kind of an underrated guy that kind of was like in the shadows of Chaz in a way to me. This past season, we all wanted to talk about 19, Chaz this, Chaz that, and deny. But really, he was kind of Mr. Consistent to me. And like, he has the body type to be a big, big time player, like NFL type of player, I think. And once he puts it all together, he could be really dangerous. So, really, kind of seeing him come back is really exciting for us. Plus, you know, the transfer. I know we're not talking about transfer, but McPherson could end up being
from Colorado.
He could end up being our best all-around pass rusher. But again, like I said earlier, we have so much crap to talk about. Like we haven't even touched. Like we could talk just transfer for the next like 3 months and just hit each room and talk about each guy.
We are going to do that because we're going to count on that recruiting and scouting talent of yours. But unfortunately, Mike, we are out of time today. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.